Hi everyone, this is Brad Bristow and I'm the lead campus pastor here at Cornerstone Church in Airdrie, and I want to thank you so much for listening to our podcast. We believe that the God who spoke so clearly in the pages of Scripture continues to speak to His kids today. So as you listen, I pray that you would be inspired, encouraged, challenged, and your faith would be built. Enjoy the message. As family, we go. Romans chapter 5. This week we're starting a new series on one of, if not the singular most important concept in all of Scripture. The concept and the teaching on grace. Understanding grace, understanding what it is and what it means for us, is crucial to understanding the person and the ministry of Jesus Christ. Because grace is what changed everything. But grace is so much more than just a concept. Grace is a person, and that person has a name, and his name is Jesus Christ. That Jesus Christ was the embodiment of grace. As we look at the life of Jesus, as we look at the teaching of Jesus, we discover that Jesus is the picture of grace for all of humanity. To understand grace is to understand Jesus, and to understand Jesus is to understand grace. He is the person of grace. He has grace. He is grace. He lives grace. He gives grace. And so as we come to understand grace, we come to understand Jesus. At the heart of our Four Square denomination, at the heart of Cornerstone Church, is the person of Jesus. The four squares of the Four Square Gospel, if you don't know, stand for Jesus Christ, our Savior, Jesus Christ, our baptizer with the Holy Spirit, Jesus Christ, our healer, and Jesus Christ, our soon and coming King. That Jesus Christ is at the heart and the center of everything that we are as a church. And when you are a Jesus-centered church, that means you are a grace-centered church. Amen? We are a grace-centered church because we are a Jesus-centered church. Now, if we are to look at grace, we need to look at grace appropriately and in context. And we need to see grace not just for what it is and who Jesus is, but what this means, what it brings to our soul and to our life. So some context for what we're going to be reading this morning. The book of Romans was written by the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul had been radically saved and transformed by grace. He was, at one time in his life, a Christian killer. But God radically saves him out of his darkness and brings him into light. He gets saved and begins to become transformed by grace. Because grace will never just leave you where you are. Grace keeps building your life. That grace will meet you wherever you are, but grace will never leave you where you are. And Paul encounters grace, but grace doesn't leave him where he is. Grace then begins a process of changing him and transforming him. And he's radically changed and goes from being a Christian killer to becoming a church builder, starting churches and encouraging and strengthening churches and believers all over the known world. And that's what the book of Romans is. It's a letter to a church and to a body of believers that Paul planted and Paul began to work in. And then he had to go, but the Holy Spirit continued to work there and the churches grew and flourished. And so Paul's writing a letter back to this church that he helped build to bring some doctrine and some theology. He wrote this letter from a place called Corinth. Corinth is the place where the churches that 1st and 2nd Corinthians were written to. And so he's in Corinth writing to Rome, writing to the church in Rome, the book of Romans, about some theology and stuff. And the book of Romans is more than pretty much any other book, gives us our theology on who Jesus is and what the significance of what he did for us is. That Romans is probably the primary book where we go for our theology on Jesus, not necessarily the biography of Jesus, but our theology on Jesus. And Romans lays out for us what grace is. It paints for us the relationship between the law and grace and the contrast that we now face, or in contrast that with what we now face through the sacrifice of Jesus. And so as the book of Romans begins, Paul lays out for us this journey of who we have been before grace and what we are becoming after grace gets a hold of us. And so then we come to Romans chapter 5, and we're going to start in verse 6. So Paul will write this. You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrated his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since we have now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? For if while we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? Not only is this so, but we also boast in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. Then if you bump just down a little bit to verse 20, it'll say this. The law was brought in so that the trespasses might increase. But where sin increased, what does it say? Grace increased all the more. So that just as sin reigned in death, so also grace might reign through righteousness to bring eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. Now, one of the most important things about grace, one of the most important things to understand, and potentially one of the most important things to continually understand as we serve God for a long time, is that grace is universally and to a person incredibly relevant. Wherever you are on your faith journey with the Lord, if this is your first Sunday here and this is your first baby step on your faith journey, or if you have come to church all of your life, grace makes a difference. Grace changes everything. Sometimes as we've served the Lord for a long time, we can forget that we still need grace. And we can think we've got this thing figured out and our holiness is good and all of these things. And we can forget that we need grace because we've served God for so long. But the reality is without grace, none of us are good enough. And so you may have heard a million sermons on grace in your life, and all of us need to hear a million more. Because grace is what changes everything, the grace of Jesus Christ. And so as we talk about grace, my prayer for you is that this wouldn't just be something you hear on Sunday. But as we talk about this, it would make a difference in your life on Monday. That God would speak to us in this house and you would go with you and make a difference in your house. That there would be thoughts or principles or a truth that would come out of this that God is going to give you, and you would be able to leave this place knowing that God is working in you. Grace is working in you. And God is working to change you and make you into your created identity to reflect the image of God in your life. That this wouldn't just be something that you hear on Sunday morning, but that through the work of the Holy Spirit and through the God's impression and making an impression on our lives, that this would change something inside of you or put a thought inside of you, that you would leave today and you would wake up tomorrow morning knowing that I know something to be different inside of me because of church yesterday. That this wouldn't just be a Lord willing 30-minute, Brad willing 40-minute talk on grace, but that this would be something that would really impact you. And what we read in Romans today, what we see is the beginning of this process that happens for you and for me. We all stood guilty and wrong and sinful. We can all come to this place of I'm guilty and I'm sinful. That is ground that we all cover, that is ground that we all have. But in the face of all the things that we had done wrong, in the face of all the places that we have not been all that we should, instead of getting what we deserve, as we stand guilty, as we stand charged, grace stands up. And grace takes all of the things that caused us to be seen as sinful, and it stands and takes the brunt of our punishment and leaves us unscathed by the law. What we read, it began with, you see, at just the right time, at just the perfect time, at just the right time, grace stands up. Grace shows up at just the right time. Grace showed up at just the right time then, and that hasn't changed. Grace will show up at just the right time for you today. Grace has the ability to have perfect timing in our lives. We may not be able to always show up for things on time, like church. You know who you are. But God does. God shows up at just the right time. Grace shows up at just the right time. All these years, the prophets in the Old Testament had been talking about this coming Messiah, this coming God, the coming of grace. Isaiah had been talking about it. Malachi had been talking about it. Joel talks about it. For years, they had been talking about it. And then here, Paul says, at just the right time, at just the right time, Jesus was born. In Galatians, when Paul will write about this, he'll say, in the fullness of time, when everything was exactly the way that it should be, when everything was exactly the way that it needed to be, at just the right moment, Jesus came. He came at just the right time, and he'll come at just the right time now. All through Jesus' story, all through the Gospels, we see a Jesus who shows up at just the right time. For the woman at the well, he showed up at just the right time. For the woman caught in adultery, he was at just the right time. For Jairus with his sick daughter, he was at just the right time. Even when people thought he missed it, when he showed up for Lazarus and he had been dead for a few days, he was at just the right time. Jesus showed up, grace showed up at just the right time, and he's going to show up at just the right time now. Grace has an ability to show up in your life just when you need it the most. His timing may not be our timing, and we may see time as different than God did, like Mary and Martha did, like I'm sure Lazarus did, that Jesus was late, but it was just the right time. But do you know why God's timing and our timing are different? Do you know why God's ways and our ways are different? Do you know why there's a difference there? Because we're wrong. We think we're right, but when we disagree with God, when our ways are not his ways, when our time is not his time, it's not because there's a competition about who's right and who's wrong. We see things differently than God because we see things wrong sometimes. And so when we see it different, it's because we're wrong. But God showed up, Jesus shows up, grace shows up at just the right time. He will show up at just the right time for your situation. He will show up at just the right time for your breakthrough. He will show up at just the right time for your medical report. He will show up at just the right time for your bank account. He will show up at just the right time for your open doors. God will show up at just the right time in your life. This is the promise that Scripture gives us, that at just the right time, grace shows up. At just the right time, God shows up. God is going to show up exactly when you need it, exactly how you need it, in exactly the place you need it, at just the right time. time. Roman said at just the right time, grace showed up. Jesus showed up to stand trial for your sins. Then Paul goes on to say, while we were yet... Oh, grace shows up just when you're at the right time. But God demonstrated his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. While we were sinners, Christ died for us. When we were at our worst, God was still at his best. While we were still sinners, while I was at my worst place, God was still in his best place. When I was broken, when I was depressed, when I was addicted, when I was losing my mind, when I was rebellious, when I was disobedient, yet while I was still in that place, while I was still a sinner, Jesus Christ, this grace, died for me. While I was everything I shouldn't have been and in no way earned what happened, at just the right time, grace showed up. And while I was still a sinner, that was the right time for Jesus to die for me. He didn't say to us, grace doesn't say to us, get your act together. Get yourself cleaned up and fancy. Know some Christian words. Know some Hillsong songs. Jesus said, grace said, I will meet you where you are. Wherever you are in your story, that's where I'm going to come to. I'm not going to ask you to come and approach me. I will come and I will find you. I will meet you there in your brokenness, in your suffering, and in your pain. I will meet you there. Let this encourage you today. You don't have to fake it with God. You don't have to be something you're not. You don't have to play church games with Jesus. Jesus came to save sinners. Jesus himself would say, the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost. He knew what he was looking for. He wasn't somehow, we can't fool him into saying, I'm not lost. He knew what he was coming for, and he knew when he came for you, where you were and what you were. He knows you, he knows your story, and he knows what's real. And he knows how to deal with that. That's grace. We stand guilty before God, and Jesus says to us, no, you go sit down. I will take the stand for you. I will take the punishment for you. I'll take the shame. I'll take your guilt. I will take your sin. I will take your condemnation onto myself. While I was yet a sinner, Christ died for me. I stood guilty as charged, and Jesus said, you go sit down, I'm taking your place. And this wasn't a one-time thing. When I was at my worst, God was at his best. And now when I'm at my worst, God is still at his best. When you are at your worst, God is showering you with the blessing of grace. When you walk through life, you receive grace even at your worst. This, though, is not a loophole or a license to go off the deep end. Because, hey, no matter what I do, grace. Paul would write, should we continue in sin because grace? No. No, we shouldn't continue in sin because grace. This is not a loophole, but it is a reassurance that the assurance that when we are at our worst, when we were at our worst, when we are at our worst, God is at his best. He has the best for us. Paul will say, at just the right time, grace showed up. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And then he goes on to say, now that we have put our faith in him, we are now justified. We are justified by our faith in Jesus. We are justified by Jesus. Justified is a law term. It's a court term. Justification means that God has taken my guilt and the penalty for my sin. But more than that, it's not just that Jesus stands up and says, yes, you are guilty, but I'll take the punishment for your guilt. Justification is not just that he stands up and says, yes, Brad, you are guilty, but watch what I'll do for you. It's not just that he has taken the guilt of my sin. He makes it as though I had never done what I did in the first place. Justification is not just taking the blame. It's taking away the sin. And it's taking away the things he had done wrong. He doesn't say, see, I'm taking away the penalty for the things that you did. He says, I'm taking away the things you did. Not the punishment, the things themselves. And so you don't stand here guilty as charged. There's now no more charges. He doesn't just take the punishment. He takes the offense. It's not just that somehow we are found guilty, but the punishment is removed. It's that the charges are gone. We go from standing before a judge, guilty, to him looking at us and saying, what are you doing here? There's no charges against you. You can go. Grace stood trial. Grace paid the price. And you and I, we are justified because of our belief in Jesus. We are justified not by merit, not by morals, not by my righteousness, not by my tithe, not by my behavior, not by my life, but by his life. You have been justified by the blood of the Lamb, by Jesus. When Jesus hung on the cross and died a brutal death, it was so that you and I don't have to face our guilt. So I don't have to face shame, so we don't have to face condemnation. Our sins have been washed away, and you are now justified by faith in Christ. No matter how hard we tried, no matter how hard we worked, we could never fulfill the law's demands. The law was too big. The law was too great. We would all fall short. We read in Romans, for all of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. That was what the law did. It showed us that we all fall short. All we could do was break the law. The law could never lead to life. All the law could do was point out how bad we are, how sinful we are. But we have been delivered from the law because we are now in grace. Because Jesus says that he came to fulfill the law. He took our sin and our shame so that you and I are now justified and made right. This is grace. This is the gospel. This is good news. This is why we worship God. This is why we celebrate, why we sing about being undeserving, why we sing about his death on the cross, is because his death on the cross wipes our slate clean and we stand before him not condemned, but recognized as sons and daughters. We stand before him not facing the punishment of eternal torment, but welcomed into the presence of God and him inviting us in and saying, come on in, my child. Paul goes on to say that we are not just justified by faith, but that we're made righteous. And I want to get Bible nerdy and word nerdy on you just for a moment here as we're drawing to a close. But I want to differentiate between two words for you that sometimes you'll hear inside Christian cultures, because one word is more familiar, but it's the wrong word, and the other word is less familiar, but it's the right word. I want to differentiate between imparted righteousness and imputed righteousness. Sometimes people will say, and there are entire sects inside of Christianity that will subscribe to this, that will propagate this, that will say that God imparts righteousness on us. But that's not what God did. That's not what Jesus did. That's not what grace did. Imparted righteousness means that you are actually becoming, that God will make you righteous, that you are in the process of becoming righteous, that we will need to work ourselves through this process, that I need to go to church, that I need to kneel, that I need to say this, that I have to do that, so that I can become righteous. Jesus did not impart righteousness on you. He imputed righteousness. That means that his righteousness has literally been placed on my life. that his righteousness has been placed on your life. You are not becoming righteous. You are righteous. Imputed means to assign a value. Jesus assigns you the value of righteousness. You have been declared righteous. You do not need to get right. You are right. Through Christ Jesus our Lord, you are made righteous. You are not becoming righteous. You are not on the path to righteousness. You are made righteous. 2 Corinthians 5:12 will say, God made himself who had no sin, sin for us, so that we might become the righteousness of God. You are the righteousness of God. His death on the cross, him who knew no sin, dying for us who know sin all too well, allow us, you, to become the righteousness of God. Because of Jesus, I am, and you are, our identity is the righteousness of God. Listen to this, and I hope that this will speak to some of us here today, because I know that this is a hard subject at times for us to internalize. But you can never be more righteous than you are right now. You can never become more righteous than you are right now. This may be hard to accept, but it's what Scripture teaches us and what grace means for you. Listen to this. You are as righteous as Jesus. When God looks at you, he doesn't see you. He sees you through the lens of the righteousness of the Son of God. That's why we are the children of God. The Bible will tell us this, that your life has been hidden in Christ. It's hidden. That means when God looks at you, he doesn't see your life. He sees Christ. He sees the righteousness of his Son. He sees the righteousness that his Son had, and that has clothed us, that has hidden our lives away, that we are then able to enter into the presence of God. We can't enter into the presence of God if we're not holy, if we're not righteous. And you and I, friends, we're not holy. So if we believe we can enter into the presence of God, if you and I believe that we are children of God, then we need to be seen the same way that God sees his children. And when grace comes in at just the right time, and grace stands up, we are washed clean. And clean means clean, friends. It doesn't mean mostly clean. It doesn't mean partly clean. It doesn't mean like when I clean something versus when Yvonne cleans something. When I clean it, it's clean. When she cleans it, it's clean. But when I clean it, it's clean. For the most part, you know, I get the middle. The edges might be a little bit dirty, you know, whatever. But I get the middle. I get the main part. But some of the edges, it's clean. You'd sit down and eat it. When she cleans it, it's clean. It's really clean. Friends, we are made clean. Your life is hidden by God. We have become the righteousness of God. When God looks at you, he doesn't see your guilt. He doesn't see your shame. He sees the sacrifice of his Son. He sees his righteousness on you. Scripture will tell us that we have been clothed in righteousness. That's what is seen when it's looked at us. We are seen as holy. We are seen as blameless, because that's the only way we can enter into relationship with Jesus, is by being washed clean. I know it's hard to accept and it's hard to internalize, because we don't want to say that about ourselves. We don't feel comfortable saying something like that about ourselves, because that sounds crazy. I know me, and I know I'm flawed, and I'm broken, and I'm incomplete, and I'm all of these things, so I can't be that. And you're right, you are that, and you're wrong, because you are made that. You are made righteous through grace. When you wake up tomorrow morning and you grab a cup of coffee, you can know about yourself that you can never be more righteous than you are today. because you are made justified and right by Jesus Christ, not by works, so that no one can boast. The truth of grace is this: your sin is not greater than your God. In fact, Paul will say, and we're going to take a look about this in the coming weeks, Paul will say in Romans 6, "Now that I've been justified and made right, count yourself as dead to sin and alive in Christ." Your sin is not bigger than your God. Stop convincing yourself that your sin can nullify grace. Grace has increased greater than your sin. We just read that. Where sin was, grace increased all the more. Grace has increased greater than your sin. Your sin pales in comparison to the power of grace in your life. Easy for me to say. You are not guilty. You are not condemned. You have been made right. You are justified by grace.
Grace, grace lies.
Thank you so much for listening today. We pray that you were challenged and encouraged from our message today. If you would like to speak to a member of our pastoral team at Cornerstone Airdrie, you can go to our website, cornerstonefoursquarechurch.com, click on the Airdrie tab, and then on the About section, click on Our Staff, and we'd love to hear from you. Make sure to connect with us on social media, like us on Facebook at facebook.com/cornerstoneairdrie, and give us a follow on Twitter and Instagram, at CS Airdrie on Twitter and at Cornerstone Airdrie on Instagram. If you enjoyed the podcast today, be sure to subscribe and get new content delivered right to your device through iTunes. And if you're able to, we would really appreciate it if you could rate and review us on iTunes. I know that sounds like an odd request, but the more that people do that, the easier iTunes makes it for others to find us. At Cornerstone Airdrie, we are a family not by blood, but a family that's been bought by blood. As family we go.